Next to someone who's returning to the microphone after 16 years away. El DeBarge found fame as the lead singer of the group DeBarge in the early 1980s and on his own as a solo artist with hits like All This Love and I Like It. But for El DeBarge, fame came with trouble, drugs, and then the law. For more than two decades, DeBarge battled addictions to crack and heroin, and in October 2008, he was sent to prison for drug possession. He was released in October 2009 and soon after began a journey back to music. He received a huge welcome when he performed on the BET Awards this summer, and this fall he toured with Mary J. Blige promoting his new album, aptly titled Second Chance. It's his first album in 16 years. For the rest of my life, I live to say goodbye to all the promises left behind. Here we are, you and I, a second chance. We caught up with El DeBarge when he was in Atlanta to talk about his new album and his return to the stage, and I asked him if his experience of going to jail was hitting rock bottom.
Well, you know what? I hit rock bottom before I even went there. Actually, prison was the rescue mission that God had put on me. He sent out his angels to rescue me. In prison, he protected me the whole time I was in there, and it was just for me to get my willpower back, get my strength back, get my focus together.
Tell me more about that. How so? I mean, for many people, prison is a devastating experience. Tell me why, for you, it was a rescue mission.
Well, I was already devastated before I even got locked up in the California State Penitentiary. I had already been devastated from the drug addiction. I'd already been devastated because of what the drugs had done to me mentally, emotionally, psychologically. That was the real prison. That was the first prison, put it that way. Mm-hmm. So I was on my way back up because I was praying, Lord, help me. That's how he helped me.
I hope you don't mind my mentioning that you come from a musical family, obviously the group, and your brother, Chico, has also had similar problems. And it's just interesting to see, you know, so much talent in the same family, but also a lot of pain and trouble in the same family. And have you done some thinking about why you feel that this has been visited upon you and your family?
Oh, my God. Chico is so strong. While I was in prison, just thinking about him reminded me of the strength that I had. I just did 13 months. Chico did six straight years in a federal penitentiary. And I was like, oh, my God. That's an incredible amount of time. But Chico is one of my closest brothers. We're very, very, very close. And he would write me while I was in prison, and he'd say, hey, man, you know you can do this. You can get through this. He said, you know what you're made of. And I ran back and said, I'm going to get through this. But God saw fit to have grace upon me. He heard my mama's prayers, and he heard my prayers, and he heard the prayers of my fans, because I had learned when I was in prison, all the fan mail I was getting, it was incredible. And I saw all the people that had been waiting for me to get it together, and they did nothing but just show me love.
Well, to that point, let's play a little bit of that. You were featured on a recent cover of Ebony magazine, and this past June you performed at the BET Awards. I'll just play a little bit of that.
I had some hope, and no one could seem to solve, but you found the answer. So I gave it half a chance.
And, of course, you sound great, but I'm more interested in the crowd and how they received you. Do you remember it, or could you even hear it, or what was that like?
I was in a trance, I think. When I turned around, I saw T.I. and Tiny standing up, and they were waving at me. And I remember I locked right into them, and they were just like rooting me on. It's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh my God. So I just pulled their energy, and then I just walked around the stage, and then I saw John Legend. He was standing right there. Just a whole lot of people. And I walked out in the audience, and they grabbed me and they hugged me. What was incredible about that to me was a lot of celebrities, they don't, you know, they get stuck on their own egos, and they really don't embrace you like that because, you know, their egos are too big. But I didn't feel that at all. I got nothing but love and joy from these people.
Talk about the new album, and what was your starting point? Were these things that you were thinking about while you had that time away, or how'd you pull it together?
Well, while I was in prison, I didn't write any songs. I wasn't inspired. I was just trying to hurry up and get out of there, and I couldn't hurry up because the clock was moving. It wasn't moving faster for me, that's for sure. And when my time came to get out, I was so happy to be free. My mother was there, and she flew all the way up from Michigan to California, and the first person I saw when I got out those gates was my mother with her arms wide open, and she said, come here, baby. And she took me home. And then my creative process began.
Which is?
Well, I started writing songs. I started thinking of ideas. I got together with my manager, Pete Farmer, and I said, Pete, I'm ready to reemerge. And he took me over to Interscope Geffen, and they heard me sing. They wanted me to sing a cappella. You know, I guess they wanted to see if I could still sing, you know, because crack can do some terrible things to a person's voice. But God preserved me, and they signed me up.
How did that feel to have to sing a cappella to prove you could still sing? Was that, how did you feel about that? Did you feel okay?
It didn't bother
okay
me at all.
No?
I wasn't above that because, listen, I'm too grateful to be hateful. I'm too blessed to be stressed. You know what I mean? So it was like, it didn't bother me at all. I was like, okay, fine. I understood, you know, because it was a 22-year drug binge. I mean, why wouldn't they want to know if I still had it? You know what I mean?
Honestly, I was going to comment on the fact that when I heard you talk, that your voice seems as strong as ever. I mean, time does what time will do, even if you're not, if you don't
right.
have a drug problem, okay? So I'm interested to hear just how strong your voice is. Why do you think that is?
It's because of God's purpose. You know, I know that I'm here because of the grace of God, but I also know that I've been given this second chance for a specific reason, and that is to bring love to the world again through the voice of my music. And I'm so honored to be able to do that. I'm so blessed that God has chosen me to do that. Clearly, I know that so many people out there are looking for a second chance, and I just want to give the world permission to love again and to be loved and to feel it.
Well, second chance, of course, obviously speaks very clearly to that. There's another song I thought we might want to play called Close to You. Shall we
yes.
play a little bit about that?
All right. Let's play Close to You.
All right, good.
You say that you need a man in your life that you can love and trust. And I'm thinking I know just who you need. That would be me. I know that I can make you happy. Open your eyes and look at me.
That's very sweet. Anybody nice. in mind in particular?
No, as usual, when I write songs, when I sing, I don't have anybody in mind. I just trying to express what I think people are feeling.
There's another piece on the album that's kind of interesting, a collaboration with rapper 50 Cent, and it's on mm-hmm. the song called Format. Why don't we play a little bit of that?
Shorty all that, gotta go hard, you watch me switch up the format.
I just wanna see you with me on top. It's whatever you want, cause you know I got you.
If you want it, you got it, you spot it, you tell me to get it, you good. I'm holding it down like I should from Beverly Hills to the hood.
Ooh, that's why I switched it up for you.
I gotta tell you, I don't always think of DeBarge and 50 Cent quite in the same sense. It's a hot track, but I'm curious how this came about and what made you think of it.
Well, don't think of it. Just, you know, just let it be music. We've always wanted to do something together, so we're mutual fans of each other's style and music. So we said, let's see what we can do. that would be radio friendly, you know, that the fans could have a good time and shake their hip too.
Well, how does it feel? How does it feel? You're back. Do you feel back? Like you're back?
Well, like Tony the Tiger said, great. That's how it feels to me.
Well, what's next? You got the album out. You're on tour. What else? What's next?
What's next is, well, I have a movie that I'm in called Jumping the Broom. It'll be out 2011. And I'm playing myself in it, a singer. I'm playing the piano and I'm singing. So that's, you know, my little entry into the acting world, which I hope to be doing more of in 2011. And I'm going on tour. So,
all right. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
That was L. DeBarge. His new album is called Second Chance, and he joined us from WSB in Atlanta. Thank you so much for joining us, and our best wishes to you.
Thank you.
You're such a perfect lover, and baby, you can do better than me.
And that's our program for today. Our technical director is Kimberly Jones. She had a hand this week from Neil Tivolt. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The supervising senior editor is Portia Robertson-Migas. The supervising senior producer is Tashima Walker. And remember, to tell us more, you can always go to npr.org and find us under the Programs tab. You can also friend me on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Just look for Tell Me More NPR. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow.